Working to cleanse my guilt and pride. Blood of Christ the crucified.
Unleavened Bread Ministries presents
From your hands, your feet, your side.
Unleavened Bread Bible Studies with David Eales.
Can quench my thirsting soul. Purest water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, O Jesus.
Hello, brethren. God bless you. You know, we've been having a wonderful time studying the end time. We've been doing a series on these days that we're coming into here. And I thought of something very important I'd like to share with you today. I think it's probably one of the most important subjects on the end time that we can talk about. Especially because so many of God's people are in darkness concerning this. I'd like to talk with you about the 70 weeks of Daniel, and in particular, the 70th week of Daniel. It's a very important subject because it is a key to the beginning of the last 7 years. It is a key to the timing of things that are going to happen in the book of Revelation. The timing of the attack on America, the timing of the coming of the day of the Lord, many timings are involved. The timing of the coming of the Lord, if you studied with us in the past and you know when the beginning of the tribulation is, you know when the Lord's coming. Because as were the days of Noah and as were the days of Daniel, God shows us exactly how to count until His coming. So, we're going to start in Daniel 9 and 24. And see what the Lord will show. And Daniel 9:24 says, 70 weeks are decreed upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish transgression and make an end of sins. Well, there are people, folks, preterists in particular, that believe that all of this already has been accomplished back in the time of Jesus. And I will admit that there is a type and a shadow there that fulfills some of these things. As a matter of fact, the problem with preterism is that they believe that there's only one fulfillment to prophecy. But the truth is, this particular prophecy, there is two very strong fulfillments, one in Jesus' day and one in ours. And if you only see one, then you're not really going to see what's going to come to pass in these days. But notice, the 70 weeks are decreed upon thy people and thy holy city. That is, Daniel's people and Daniel's holy city, in order to finish transgression and make an end of sin. Well, friends, finishing transgression and making an end of sin is not something that was accomplished in the days of Jesus or His apostles. There will be a finishing of transgression and making an end of sin concerning God's people and concerning the holy city in the days to come. God is going to accomplish the fullness of His salvation, and we're going to see it. And it's going to be awesome. Okay. Here's what I want to make a point to you, something that the Lord showed me and I want to prove to you, is that 69 of these weeks were decreed upon thy people. Physical Israel. And the 70th week is decreed upon thy people, spiritual Israel. I'm going to prove that to you from the scriptures, all right? Daniel 9 and 25. Know therefore and discern that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the anointed one, the prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. And, of course, weeks here is the word Shabuah, which means a seven. It's used in the scriptures for a seven of days or a seven of years. And in this case, it's definitely a seven of years because he counts up 69 weeks here of years, or 483 years, which was between the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem and the coming of the Anointed One, or the Messiah. The anointed here is the same word for Messiah. Okay? Well, in 486 B.C., according to numeric chronology, this commandment was given. And there's an argument over who gave the commandment. But in 486 B.C., there was 483 years between the commandment that was given to restore and to build Jerusalem and the coming of the Messiah in 4 B.C. Well, do you know that he was actually called the Anointed or the Messiah when he was born? Some people say, no, he wasn't anointed for 30 years, but Luke chapter 2 and verse 11 says, "For there is born unto us," the angel of the Lord said this, "there was born unto you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ," or anointed, "Lord." So he was called the Anointed when he was born, even though 30 years later he was anointed to begin his ministry. Now, some people say that Cyrus was not the one that gave the command, but the scriptures is pretty plain on this. I'll just share a couple with you. 2 Chronicles 36 and verse 22 says, "Now in the first year of Cyrus, the king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be accomplished, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he made a proclamation throughout all of his kingdom, and put it also in writing, saying, Thus saith Cyrus, the king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth hath the Lord, the God of heaven, given me, and he hath charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem," which is in Judah. "And whosoever therefore is among you of all his people, the Lord his God be with him, and let him go up." Well, some people say, no, he was only speaking of building the house of the Lord, not Jerusalem. Well, how could he build the house of the Lord in Jerusalem, since Jerusalem had been destroyed and there was no Jerusalem? He definitely was talking about building the house of the Lord and Jerusalem. And we have proof of that, for instance, in Isaiah chapter 44, where it says in verse 28, That saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying of Jerusalem, she shall be built, and of the temple, thy foundation shall be laid. Very plainly, Cyrus was the one. Also, 45 and 13, I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will make straight all his ways, and he shall build my city, and he shall let my exiles go free, not for price nor reward, saith the Lord of hosts. And obviously Cyrus conquered Babylon and set God's people free to go back and to build the new Jerusalem, which was the new Jerusalem of that day. So, some people still say that, no, it wasn't Cyrus, it was Artaxerxes. Okay? Well, obviously, Cyrus, Darius, and Artaxerxes all commanded this temple to be built. It was, I'll just give you this verse over in Ezra, chapter 6, and verse 14. "And the elders of the Jews builded and prospered through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo. And they builded and finished it according to the commandment of the God of Israel and according to the decree of Cyrus and of Darius and of Artaxerxes, king of Persia. And this house was finished on the third day of the month, Adar." Okay, so we see that the decree went forth by Cyrus and Darius and Artaxerxes. Obviously, Darius and Artaxerxes were continuing with the command and the decree that Cyrus made. And if you look in the book of Esther, it says very plainly that according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, that whatever the king writes and seals with his ring, may no man reverse. Meaning, of course, when Cyrus made this edict, the kings who followed were held responsible to make sure it was brought to pass. And so they also made command to finish this house. Matter of fact, when Cyrus in 486 gave the command, it was 483 years or 69 weeks until Jesus came on the scene and was born. And another neat thing was that even though Artaxerxes, which could have been Ahasuerus, I think it probably was Ahasuerus, Artaxerxes commanded 30 years later for Cyrus's edict to be fulfilled, even though it was 30 years later, it was also 69 weeks between his edict and when the Lord was anointed in A.D. 27. That's very interesting. And now you really can't get out of the fact that Jesus Christ was and is the Messiah, because both his birth and his anointing, which started his ministry, are identified by the 69 weeks. It's very strange that Christians probably are going to miss, a lot of Christians are going to miss the 70th week the way the Jews missed the 69th week. I'll point out something to you. If you look, for instance, at verse 26, it says, "And after the 62 weeks shall the anointed one be cut off." Of course, he's talking about the 62 weeks that came after the 7 weeks in verse 25. Verse 25 says 7 weeks and 62 weeks. Why 7 weeks and 62 weeks? Because after 7 weeks, or 7 weeks of years, which is 49 years, the temple was built. And so when you add that to the 62 weeks that came after, you have 69 weeks. And now it's telling you after the 62 weeks, which would be after the 69 weeks, shall the anointed one be cut off and shall have nothing. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. And this happened in 70 AD. The people of the prince that did come. By the way, that if God was so impressed with this city, why did he send his armies, according to Matthew chapter 22, Jesus' parable, and destroy those murderers and destroy their city? Speaking about those who killed the disciples and Jesus himself. No, God did not consider this a holy city at that time. Remember, 70 weeks are decreed upon thy people and upon thy holy city. So let's see when the people change and when the city changes. This is something that the church has not realized is happening and has happened. And because of that, they are predicting something that's not ever going to happen because of the letter. And this is what we spoke last time about, the letter deceiving God's people, and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Zealots using the letter to deceive God's people into not understanding what's going to happen. Well, the Bible says that after the 69 weeks, that the anointed one would be cut off, and he was. Our Lord Jesus was put to death at that time. And, you know, notice it does not say the 70th week started there. And as we go on, you're going to see that it's omitted in a couple of more verses here. After the 69 weeks, physical Israel killed Jesus and was broken off of the olive tree of true Israel through unbelief. Why is that? Because they did not believe in the sacrifice. This was the only way that these people could stay in covenant with God, was through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And when they rejected the sacrifice of the Lamb, they were broken off of the olive tree. You know, Romans 11 and 20 says, "Well, by their unbelief, they were broken off." Do you understand? The Bible is very plain that because they didn't now believe in the New Testament sacrifice, they were broken off of the olive tree, which the Bible calls all Israel. Now, remember last time we pointed out that when you come into the new covenant, God now recognizes spiritual bodies rather than physical, carnal bodies. In other words, Israel passed on their seed by the flesh. You were an Israelite according to the flesh. But the church passes on its seed by the word of God. And whosoever receives the seed of the word that's spoken through the church, these also become children. And, you know, the 70th week is decreed upon thy people. Now I'm going to make a point here. Spiritual Israel. That's Daniel's people. The 70th week is decreed upon thy people. That is spiritual Israel. The last week is decreed upon the church, who was grafted into the olive tree called all Israel. Romans 11 and 19 says, thou wilt say then, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. And that was spoken to the church. The Romans were Gentiles. The branches that were broken off here was natural Israel, who did not believe. And he went on to say that I might be grafted in. Verse 20. Well, by their unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. We stand in the olive tree called all Israel because of our faith. And I might say that there's an awful lot of Christians who really don't have any faith. They are, they believe that because of the church they go to, because of the doctrine that they believe, so on and so forth, is the reason that they are accepted by God. Verse 23, and they, that is the remnant, also, if they continue not in their unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. And so all Israel shall be saved. Now notice, thy people, Daniel's people, were Israel, and Daniel's people are still Israel. Because the Gentiles, who are grafted in by faith, were grafted into what verse 26 calls all Israel. Who are Daniel's people now? Well, let me make a point. God pointed this out to Daniel in Daniel 12 and 13. He said, but go thy way till the end be. Till the end be. For thou shalt rest and shall stand in thy lot. Who's that? Daniel's people. At the end of the days. Now there's only one resurrection of the righteous dead, and it's at the end, according to 1 Corinthians 15, 22 through 24, which says, for as in Adam all died, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, then they that are Christ's at his coming. Then cometh the end. Now, who are Daniel's people? The people who are resurrected at the resurrection of the just. And who is that? Well, overwhelmingly, let me tell you, overwhelmingly, it is a Gentile church. Not only the righteous Jews from the Old Covenant, but the Gentile church will be resurrected in Daniel's lot. That is, his people. And it will happen at the end of days, not 2,000 years ago, as the preterists are saying. You see? Romans 9, 25 and 26 says, and he saith also in Hosea, I will call that my people which was not my people, and her beloved that was not beloved. I will call that my people which was not my people, and her beloved that was not beloved. And it shall be in the place where it was said unto them, you are not my people. That was obviously the Gentiles, right? There they shall be called the sons of the living God. So God has grafted in a Gentile church into all Israel. Children, seed, offspring, spiritually speaking, of Daniel and of Abraham. Romans 2 and 28 and 29 says, for he is, listen to this now, you have to agree with the word of God. It says, he is not a Jew who is one outwardly. He is not a Jew who is one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart. in the Spirit, not in the letter. In the New Covenant, you are a Jew if you're circumcised in heart, in the Spirit, not in the letter. Those who believe that the Jews in the letter are the seed of Abraham, are the seed of the promise, are deceived. Those who believe that the covenant of the 70th week, when God says, I will call them my people which were not my people, they believe that that covenant is with the Jews according to the letter, are deceived. That's why they're going to miss what is about to happen. Romans 9 and 8. That is, it's not the children of the flesh that are the children of God, but the children of the promise are reckoned for a seed. Why reckoned? Why are they considered for a seed? Because they were not a seed physically according to the letter. They are considered a seed because they're children of promise. And the Bible says we, as Isaac was, are children of promise, speaking to a Gentile church. Revelation 2 and 9 says, I know thy tribulation, thy poverty, but thou art rich. And the blasphemy of them that say they are Jews, and they are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. You understand that Jesus made a point to the Jews in John, who thought that they were Abraham's seed. He said, if you were Abraham's seed, you would do the works of Abraham. The thing that makes us a seed of Abraham, of Daniel, is because we walk in their steps, not because we are a physical seed. Romans 4, 16 and 17 says, for this cause it is of faith that it may be according to grace, to the end that the promise may be sure to all of the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham. Notice, all the seed, those that were righteous under the law, and those who are of the faith of Abraham in the new covenant. And he goes on to say, that which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. And who is he speaking to? The Roman church. Gentile church. As it is written, a father of many nations. That's the word Gentiles. Have I made thee? A father of many nations have I made thee. So those who walk by faith are now the seed of Abraham and of Daniel and are the New Testament Jews. Not according to the letter, but according to the Spirit. But of course, in the New Testament, that's what counts. In the Old Testament, the letter counted. In the New Testament, the Spirit counts. You see, folks, we're talking about the Pharisees and Sadducees and Zelotes of our modern day church are sending the same strong delusion to God's people that they were 2,000 years ago. The same strong delusion of the letter. They don't rightly divide the Word of God. When it speaks of Daniel, Daniel's people, the 70 weeks is decreed upon thy people and upon thy holy city. Now we're talking about the 69 weeks leading up to Jesus, which were applied to the natural Jew. But at the time of Jesus, who was their sacrifice, they put them in covenant with God, they rejected, and now only those who walk by faith who are in covenant with God are Jews. See, while God's people are looking for the beast to covenant with letter Israel, the covenant will include the church. Notice, Daniel 9 and 27, and he shall make a firm covenant with many for 1 week. With many. Why did he say many? Why didn't he say the Jews? Commonly, when he was talking about Israel, he said Israel or the Jews. But in this case, he said many. Now, I want to ask you something. Since this does happen at the end of time when God does away with sin in his people and transgression in his people, like the prophecy says, Who is the many today? If you're talking about natural Israel, folks, you're talking about maybe 2 or 3 million people over there. Is that many? Why would he say many? I'll tell you why, because now he's talking about a worldwide Israel. Worldwide spiritual Israel. Not taking anything away from letter Israel, you understand, but a worldwide spiritual Israel who are circumcised in heart. When God, in the Old Testament, was offended with his people, it was because they made a covenant with the world. This is what offends God. Natural Israel has many covenants with the world. God is not offended. They don't know any better. But I'm going to tell you who he is offended with. He's offended with his church when they make a covenant with the world. And that's what's coming, folks. It's a repetition of history. It's already happened before, even. In the Roman Empire before, too. Like Constantine, who made a covenant with between apostate Christians and the other pagan religions in order to make a one world religious order under his Roman Empire. Folks, that's coming again, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. The 7-year covenant begins the tribulation, and according to Revelation 12, the man-child is born to the woman, which is the church, at this time. Since the Gospels, I shared with you a while back a revelation that the Lord spoke to me. He said that the Gospels and the book of Acts represented the first 3.5 years of the tribulation and the second 3.5 years of the tribulation period. Because the man-child in the Gospels, who began the ministry of the first fruits, represents an end-time man-child that does the same thing in Revelation chapter 12. Revelation 12 is the beginning of a repetition of history. It's just on a larger scale. Okay. Since the Gospels represent the first 3.5 years of tribulation, we should see the covenant, the man-child, and the woman there in the beginning of the Gospels, shouldn't we? Okay. Well, Luke 2 and 1 says, "Now it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world," notice this, not Israel, "all the world should be enrolled." That's right. The word there is apographe, and it means a writing of separation, a registration. There never was a taxation at this time. Nowhere in history have they ever proven a taxation. They have proven a census. Historically, they have proven that they had a census at this time. And all the world was enrolled by Caesar Augustus. Of course, he was the head of the Roman Empire, which is being rebuilt now, a worldwide Roman Empire. And all the world, he wanted to see by this census who was in his kingdom, who was in the beast kingdom. Okay? And he was, through this, enrolling these people. And verse 3 says, "And all went to enroll themselves. And Joseph also went to enroll himself with Mary, who was betrothed to him, being great with child." This is, of course, the man-child. It was a type and a shadow of the timing of the birth of the man-child, at the same time that the enrollment of all the world into this covenant was happening. And verse 6, "And it came to pass that while they were there, the days were fulfilled that she should be delivered." Interesting. The man-child, just like in Revelation 12, at the beginning of the tribulation period, the man-child is born and begins his ministry. And here it is. "And she brought forth her firstborn son." I want to say that the covenant is going to be made. They're not going to ask our opinion about it. They're not going to ask the true Christian's opinion about it. They're appointing the elders over the church, so to speak, kind of like Constantine did, appointed his lackeys to rule over the church and other religions of the world. Same thing is happening now with kind of a United Religions organization. And the UN is behind it. They want to do the same thing that Constantine did. Well, by the middle of the covenant, the righteous will separate because they'll refuse the mark of the beast, which the apostates will gladly receive. One reason that they'll receive it, in many cases, these people will be Christians, so-called Christians. One reason they'll receive it is because they've received the letter and not the Spirit. They will not understand that this is what the Bible is speaking about. Because of their false ideas, because they only have eyes for the letter, haven't been given a gift of God, of truth, of the Spirit of the Word, they will be deceived. A strong delusion. Many people are not even going to know the tribulation started because they don't understand these things. You know, 69 weeks were decreed upon the physical city, and the 70th week is decreed upon the spiritual city. Why do I say that? Well, Daniel 9:24, again, 70 weeks are decreed upon thy people and upon thy holy city. Okay? When Jesus came, two things changed. When Jesus came and was rejected, the people changed and the city changed. The holy city changed. Not only did Daniel's people change after the 69 weeks when the church began, but thy holy city changed too. Holy means sanctified, folks. It means separated from the world. Now, I want to tell you that natural Israel and natural Jerusalem is anything but separated from the world and sanctified. Matter of fact, if you look at Matthew 27 and 53, you'll find the last place that natural Jerusalem is called the holy city. And you know what it is? It's when Jesus was killed. When Jesus was crucified. That's the last place Jerusalem, natural Jerusalem, is called the holy city in the Bible. Some of you will argue with me when you get to the book of Revelation. But when we get there, I'm going to share that with you too. That's the last place natural Jerusalem was called the holy city. Because it was no longer holy. You know why? Because they no longer had a sacrifice. Their sacrifices were useless. God in Isaiah chapter 1 called their sacrifices an abomination unto Him because they rejected the Holy One of Israel. So now they were without sacrifice. They couldn't be called holy in no kind of way, no form. Speaking of letter Israel and their physical city, God says in Isaiah 1 and 21, "How is the faithful city become a harlot? She that was full of justice, righteousness lodged in her, but now murderers." That's what Jesus called them in Matthew 22. That the king will send his armies, which happened to be the Roman army, and destroy those murderers and destroy their city. Why does he call them murderers here? Because in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 4, they had rejected the Holy One of Israel. And a few verses later, it says that if the Lord hadn't left us a remnant, we would be like Sodom and Gomorrah. You understand? God has only left natural Israel a remnant because they rejected the Holy One of Israel. They killed the Prince of Peace and his disciples. And he was their sacrifice. Even after they killed him, they could have accepted their sacrifice and they would have continued to be the people of Daniel, the holy city. Matthew 23 and 37, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, that killeth the prophets and stoneth them that are sent unto her, behold, your house is left unto you desolate," which means deserted by God, reprobated. Holy? No way holy, folks. No way that city is holy. It's desolate. And their temple is desolate. And if they build another one, it will be desolate. There is a temple that can have an abomination of desolation in which the Lord will leave in our day. And it is the New Testament temple of God, not the Old Testament temple of God. We'll look at that a little later. Galatians 4 and 25, Paul says, notice his description here of Old Jerusalem and New Jerusalem. He didn't agree with people that say that natural Jerusalem is holy. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. The 69 weeks were determined upon natural Jerusalem. but the 70th is not. Now this Hagar in Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to the Jerusalem that now is, for she is in bondage with her children. He called Jerusalem Hagar, who was a child of bondage. Verse 26, but the Jerusalem that is above is free, which is our mother. Notice the Jews in the New Testament, their Jerusalem is a spiritual Jerusalem. Verse 30, howbeit what saith the Scriptures? Cast out the handmaid. He's talking about apostate Jerusalem, natural Jerusalem. Cast out the handmaid and her son, for the son of the handmaid shall not inherit with the son of the free woman, which is talking about heavenly Jerusalem, new Jerusalem. Wherefore, brethren, we are not children of a handmaid, but of the free woman. And he's talking about the Galatian church, are children of the free woman, the new Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem. Christians are members of the only holy city, along with Daniel and the other righteous Old Testament saints, who became believers when Jesus went and preached to the spirits in prison, 1 Peter 3:19. When Jesus died, he went and preached to the spirits, and he preached the gospel to the spirits in prison. And Daniel, with the other righteous Old Testament saints, became believers. They became, listen, born again Christians. They entered covenant as New Testament Jews. The spiritual Jerusalem, which is the bride, is now the holy city. Hebrews 12 and 18, for you are not come unto a mount that might be touched. In other words, we're not talking about a physical mountain that can be touched. Verse 22, but you are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You know, when you get born again, folks, you, in your spirit, come to and become a part of the heavenly Jerusalem. I'm going to read this again. But you are coming to Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to the innumerable hosts of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, who are enrolled in heaven. Notice, they're not in heaven. They're enrolled, but they're on earth. But they are members, and they have come to Mount Zion, a mountain that can't be touched by man's hand. It's not physical. We are not physical Jews. The physical Jews had a physical kingdom, a physical holy city. But we're spiritual Jews, and we have a spiritual holy city, and we have a spiritual King David, our Lord Jesus, right? He said, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Notice that this Mount Zion at this particular time was the spirits of just men made perfect. What about the souls of just men made perfect? Well, that was something that God is fulfilling in those who walk in sanctification. Revelation 21 and 9 says, come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a mountain great and high. There it is. And he showed me the holy city. Look, the holy city. He didn't say a holy city. He said the holy city. There's only one holy city. He said the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. Notice that the holy city is the bride. And where's the bride? Where's the bride right now? On earth. And when Paul said, you have come to the holy city, to the spirits of just men made perfect, you see, folks, being born again is first spirit, then soul, and then body. Do you know at the end of the tribulation, when they see when the holy city has become visible and it's coming down out of heaven from God, it represents the bride returning with her new body. Do you understand? When is, you know, your spirit and soul is not visible to the world, even though they are, you are being created as the holy city, being born from above, your spirit and soul is not visible to the world. But when it comes down out of heaven at the end of the tribulation period, it will be, because your body will be born again too. You see? John 6 and 51 says, I am the living bread which came down out of heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. Wow. Jesus is being born from above. He was the bread. He is the Word of God that came down out of heaven that recreates His life in us. And John 3 and 3, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except one be born anew, the Greek word there means from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. We are being born from above. We are the city of God, being born first in spirit when you're born again, then as you're sanctified, you're born in soul, and then if you have been sanctified and born fruit, you will have a body like unto Jesus' body, which will return to this earth at the end of the tribulation period, which the Bible is making very plain that the bride is that city. We're being born from above, spirit, soul, and body. The visible holy city will come down. While many of God's people had their eyes on the letter people and the letter city, the real covenant that is about to be made, which is so offensive to God, will be with the spiritual city and the spiritual people. In other words, folks, while the church is looking over there for things to happen in Israel, and they think that they're going to be missing out on all this, I've got news for you, folks. The covenant that the beast is wanting to make is with the people of God, the New Testament people of God. Let me point something else out to you. Some people say there is no gap between the 69th and the 70th week. Well, let me read Daniel 9 and 25. Know therefore and discern that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the anointed one, the prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. It shall be built again with street and moat, even in troublous times. And after the 62 weeks, shall the anointed one be cut off, and shall have nothing. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. Notice that after the 69 weeks, which was the birth of Jesus, or if you take Ahasuerus's calculations, the calculation that people use from his command, then it would be the anointing of Jesus, which was at the beginning of his ministry. And here we have Jesus being cut off and killed, which was 3.5 years later, and it still does not mention the 70th week. It still does not mention it 3.5 years after the 69th week. Now, we have the beast destroying the city, which was 40 years later, and it still does not mention the 70th week. We have already got a gap here, folks. Why was the gap? Because they had no covenant sacrifice. Verse 27, and he shall make a firm covenant. Notice, even after the beast destroyed the city, it says it's in the future. The 70th week is in the future. And he shall make a firm covenant with many for 1 week. So, you definitely have a gap there. You cannot get out of the gap. Two more things. I want to point out two more verses. The gap was 2,000 years. Because we're told in Hosea chapter 5 and verse 15, when they rejected their sacrifice, they rejected faith in their Messiah, The Lord says, I will go and return unto my place until they acknowledge their offense and seek my face, and in their affliction they will seek me earnestly. Come, and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. Well, there's 2 days of gap right there. And on the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live before him. Let us know, let us follow on to know the Lord. His goings forth is as sure as the morning, and he will come unto us as the rain, as the latter rain that watereth the earth. The Lord will come to his people again. But notice, it's after 2 days. He is going to restore, but it's after 2 days. A 2-day gap between when they rejected the Holy One of Israel, Isaiah 1 and 4, and only a remnant was saved, I believe it's Isaiah 1 and 7 or something like that, and the holy city was called a harlot. Okay. Now, if you go to Micah chapter 5, you can see this gap even clearer. Micah 5 and verse 2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, which art little to be among the thousands of Judah, out of thee shall come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel. Obviously that was Jesus. Whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. Therefore will he give them up. Now why did God give up natural Israel, their natural city, because they rejected the Holy One of Israel? They crucified the Christ, their Messiah. Therefore will he give them up until the time that she who travaileth hath brought forth. That's the man-child in Revelation 12 at the beginning of the tribulation period when the 70th week starts. He will give them up until the man-child is born and the tribulation starts. Then shall the residue of his brethren, or remnant of his brethren, return unto the children of Israel. Notice, natural Israel, Jesus' natural brothers, will have to return to the children of Israel because they have been broken off of the olive tree, which the Bible calls all Israel. They will return to the church. No, they're not going to come back making covenants that are acceptable to God. God, in Isaiah chapter 1, says that their sacrifices are an abomination unto him. He said, get them away from me. They're an abomination. There's only one sacrifice God will ever accept. It's the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. A remnant of Jesus' natural brethren are going to return to the children of Israel because they are not the children of Israel. The children of Israel are those who are circumcised in heart. And he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord, because the man-child is Jesus manifested in his people, which is how he promised to come again in John 16. He promised to come as a little baby born to a woman, and that's exactly what he's going to do. The first fruits is going to be manifested in God's people. And a remnant of natural Israel will come into the kingdom. They will become born again Christians and will become New Testament Jews and will be fulfilled Jews. Now, while the Pharisees out there, the Sadducees and the Zelotes, the denominations of modern day Pharisees, while they teach what they're not sent to teach because they haven't been given knowledge, while they're teaching these lies of the letter and deceiving God's people, multitudes of God's people will not know the time of the beginning of the tribulation period, because none of the signposts that are given in the scriptures are being truthfully taught by these people. They haven't heard from God. They just went, but they weren't sent. That's the problem. Well, folks, That's a strong delusion. Multitudes of them will take the mark of the beast because they won't believe it is the mark of the beast because their signposts weren't fulfilled. Do you understand? The Bible says very plainly that what happened in the days of Jesus with the Jews and before with the Jews is also going to happen with the church. The things that happened with the Jews was a type and a shadow of what was going to happen with the church. The Bible says these things happened unto them, that is the Jews, by way of example. The word example here means type or figure. And they were written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the ages are come. What happened to the Jews was a type and a shadow of what is happening with the church. Do you understand? Just as the Jews had to be believers to stay in their covenant with God, the Gentile church has to be believers to abide in this covenant with God. Because Romans chapter 11 tells you that if you don't continue in belief, you also will be cut off. Well, I want to tell you, folks, that when the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, God's going to turn back to that remnant of Jews. You know what that means? It means there's a time of reprobation for the church, just as there was with Israel. A large multitude is going to be reprobated. Many are called, but few are chosen. A large multitude of Gentile, loosely called Christians, are going to be rejected. And to prove that they are actually members of the body of the beast, they're going to take the mark of the beast. Just as Jesus, who was the man-child in his day, taught for 3.5 years, sent out his 2 witnesses to witness to the Jews, who began to blaspheme God, and they turned away from the Jews and started teaching the Gentile church. In these days, the same thing is going to happen. The man-child ministry is going to raise up 2 witnesses who are going to go forth first to the church, who are going to blaspheme God with their abominable doctrines and beliefs and walking in the flesh, and God is going to turn those witnesses in the direction of a remnant of natural Israel. And history is going to repeat. You see, the difference between what happened in Jesus' day and what's happening in our day is in Jesus' day, they were the Jews. In our day, we are the Jews. We who are circumcised in heart. So, you know what? We just have to agree with what thus saith the Lord. The scriptures is very plain that when Jesus came, there was a change in the people and in the city. And God called them His people who were not His people. That is the church. And He called the holy city the new Jerusalem that is coming down out of heaven from God. And so the 70th week is not determined upon natural Israel, it's determined upon the church and their holy city. And very soon the covenant is going to start, and many are not going to recognize it. And they're going to fight against the people who have the spirit of the word, just as they did in Jesus' day. The people with the letter will be guilty of killing the people with the spirit, just as what happened in Jesus' day, because the things that have been are the things that shall be, and the things that have been done are the things that shall be done. There's no new thing under the sun. I speak on this in more detail in our book, Hidden Manna, for the end times. It's on our site, americaslastdays.com. You can go there and study this in much more detail. But we only have an hour here, and it's just about up. So I'm hoping that you'll go there and study some more of this. We're going to continue next week talking about the prince who makes the covenant, the beast, How large is this covenant? We're going to see that history is just repeating. That's all. Throughout history, this has happened before. God bless you, brethren. Study the Word. Put it in your heart. Run after Jesus Christ. God bless you.
For information, materials, and to contribute, go to www.americaslastdays.com. Contributions only may be addressed to David Eales, Post Office Box 23, 1616, Montgomery, Alabama, 36123.
Can quench my thirsting soul. Purest water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow. Oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh Jesus, I trust in you. And when I face that darkest night, what will be my guiding light? The shining rays of red and white. Jesus, I trust in you. Oh, Sacred Heart, in you I find mercy seated for all time. I am yours and you are mine. Oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh Jesus, my Lord Jesus.